You're tuned to another episode of the South Shore Garden Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's, I have to think about this now, surprising. This is part one with Andrew Fisher-Tomlin. There's a part two coming up, but it won't be next week. It'll be the week after. But if you're in iTunes or, I can't remember, there's a couple of them that it's any of the decent podcast providers, Spotify, it's in there. You can subscribe there and it'll automatically drop week after next. At Sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/Sodshow, Sodshow.com. Yeah, we should probably just get on with the show. So I'll cue the intro.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sodshow Garden Podcast.
In my company is Andrew Fisher-Tomlin. Andrew, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. The sun's out.
We met a couple of weeks ago at Ascot, the garden show, and we got chatting, and the problem we had at the time was that you wore a bale of hats. So normally, if you're a garden designer, like Matt Kiteley doing Chelsea, it's a very easy interview to get into. But yours... I don't want to ask you what you do, but it's more a case of maybe what are you doing at this moment in time. So for those who don't know you, how do you best explain yourself?
Well, I love the industry. I love the people. But I started in horticulture. I sort of started up in the early 90s when garden design was taking off anyway. So I sort of fell into that. I had my own construction company for a while. I had my own garden joinery business for a while. And then for the last 10 years, I've sort of been known as a garden designer, and I've done show gardens things, but I also have my own garden design college, London College of Garden Design, with Andrew Wilson, who I think you've met before. And I have this really nice part of what I do, which is I work on shows. I used to select all the gardens for Chelsea for about 10 years and be chairman of judging quite often. But I haven't done that for a few years because I went back to showing gardens. And I've been working with Stephen Bennett on, we did a festival in Istanbul. I've also worked on shows like the Australian Garden Show in Sydney. So the one thing about my life that I think is so wonderful about horticulture, and I never thought it would happen, is that it's allowed me to travel.
You're now more popular than me, though. You do get that. And I think there are people who I speak to in the horticulture industry where, as I said to James Basson in interview, the respect is twofold. It's one as being a gentleman or a lady, a word my mom would have been quite select on using, or choice in that regard. And the second one then is on what you do and how you go about it. And you seem to have, it's like it's clicked for you. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah, I think it is. I love it. I love all aspects of it. I've never been one to do something for too long. So in working with shows and things and going to different countries, everyone has a different culture. And I love that part of it as well. And I'm really happy. Garden designers find it quite strange that I'm happy to stand on a trade stand at a show garden and just talk to people. And especially, you know, we talk a lot these days about getting young people into the industry and the struggles with that. And so much of it you can do just by talking to people.
Okay, there's one thing that's after popping into my head, and that is, it's the Freud quote about Da Vinci that, like most men of genius, he needed constantly to occupy his mind. Translated into my mom's words, it would have been that Peter can't sit still for 2 minutes. Are you one of them?
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely that sort of person. I can't sit and watch the television in the evening things. I'm always thinking of ideas and finding new opportunities, really. And I've always felt, certainly in the last few years, with what I do and with these shows and the college and things, a lot of my role should be to put people together. So I get garden designers and gardeners coming up to me and saying, how do I get to do something in Australia? How do I get to do something like that? You know, and it works both ways as well. So I work with a government bursary scheme in Australia. So in Australia, they had to have a scheme where you can apply and come and work in the UK. So Graham Ross, who's like their equivalent of Alan Titchmarsh, runs that there. They choose some people, send them over to me, and we put them in anywhere from, they always want to do Chelsea Flower Show, but we put them in things like Chelsea Physic Garden. Then I've got one of these young Australians going into Cotswold Country Park this year because he's really into zoology and planting. And we put them there and they go back to Australia and they talk about what we do and we have people back and things. And I think my role, because I'm getting on now, is to bring people together in some ways as well. I can't do everything and it's a joy to see people, you know, just flourishing in this industry.
Let's sidetrack then into one of the things you said, because I do know Andrew Wilson. I know him quite well. He's judged my gardens and I think we spoke on the record, recorded 3 or 4 times, I think, at this stage of the game. I'll go back and say it, that split two-way of respect for what he does, how he does it, and number two, an absolute gentleman. Why start the London College of Garden Design? There was obviously a niche, and you said, I have a cunning plan, Baldrick.
Well, actually, what it was is Andrew and I vaguely knew each other. And we met at a party, and he wasn't going to go at first. And he decided at the last minute to go. And we got chatting, because we've never really had a proper chat. This was 11 years ago. And I told him that I was in negotiations to buy the English Gardening School. At which point he said, well, I'm in negotiations to buy the Inchbald. And we went, we just looked at each other and went, well, that's stupid. Why don't we just set up our own thing? So that's how it started. And so we're in our 10th anniversary now. It's our 10th anniversary year and we've got bursaries and things that are happening. It's great. And Andrew and I have just always hit it off. Andrew heads up all the education side, so he's got a sort of overall control of that and really is the leader of the garden design diploma. But with my horticulture background, I run the planting design diploma and sort of tend to run the business more as well, which is something I love doing. I like running businesses.
But you can't, Andrew. Like, apologies for my hesitancy there, but you can't. I can't. How do you even ask the question? I'll edit that bit out. How two people meet at a dinner party, they turn around and say, let's start the College of Garden Design.
Yeah.
Just bear with me on this one. I know you're sitting in front of me. And I say, well, how much are we going to charge? Well, it's €10, £1 million, whatever the case may be. They paid that amount of money. And you say, here's a certificate. There's very few people who can do that, where what the graduate comes out with at the end is respected, taken seriously and deemed as a valid qualification. And that makes me turn around and say, okay, well, we should put you a little bit further up that podium because it's an industry respect. Therefore, do you get what I'm saying on that?
I do. And it's about the quality of the teaching things. Andrew and I, when we met, we both love teaching. We love that whole thing, students. I've always said you get more ideas and new ideas from teaching than you ever would going to Chelsea Flower Show. Chelsea Flower Show is full of designers who've seen things and are bringing it to a mass market. You'll actually get more ideas, new ideas at somewhere like Tatton, or because there's people, they're almost trying harder, you know, they haven't got big budgets and things. And teaching's a bit like that. But we both, I think, came from a point of view that we were teaching for other people and weren't being allowed to do what we thought was really important in the right structure. So we started from scratch again. And we said, you know, the things that a lot of courses aren't doing are things like construction design. They're not teaching people how to go out and get a job or go and run a business on it. There's not enough planting design. There's a lot of these are plants, learn plants. But you do that at Horticulture College. You don't do that in a plant design. We want to teach people how to put plants together. So we started from scratch. And that's been the joy of it. And we also, the really important thing for us is that we only have people teaching who are actually out there working. People who know what the latest issues are. If we look at the moment, all these issues about plant health, all our tutors know about it. They're not just teachers. They're out there doing it. And that's really important to us. And as a result, you know, things like planting design diploma, I've got people like Helen James Basson and Kate Gould and, you know, Joe Thompson, Nigel Dunnett teach on that. We have people like James Hitchmo come and teach on our garden design diploma. And when we have studio, we have one tutor for every 5 students. You know, so it's about that quality, so that people are going out and producing good stuff. And as a result, you know, our students have won nearly all the Saatchi Gun Designers student awards over the last 7 years, but they're also winning all the student awards in America now as well, which is brilliant for us because it brings more people to me, you know.
Well, I'll take two things out of that. On the list of people who you said you had teaching, half of them are former guests of the Sod Show, number one. And number two, again, people I respect, you have Dead Dunnett as a teacher, and the Dunnett is a bit of a legend, to be quite fair about him.
Absolutely. And he's really supported the planting design diploma because nobody else does a diploma like this. So, and he thinks it's really important. And this year he's not only just come and done a whole day's teaching, and you can go and hear him at a conference for an hour, but he does a whole one-on-one teaching for a day. He's actually now doing 3 days for me because we're going out to see all his stuff he's done in Barbican. We're going back to see it. We're going to the Olympic Park and see it, and particularly all his work around rain gardens and things like that, you know, which is really fascinating. Now, my students will say, that was a fantastic day, but I can't imagine I'm ever going to have to use it. But 6 months out, when they finish the course, I suddenly get a message saying, you know, I've got this fantastic new job. And I suddenly realised I could do a Nigel Dunnett rain garden here. So it's about what we're trying to do is inspire students and say, you know, there ain't just one way, that sort of old perennial meadow, everybody's doing it at Chelsea. You know, that criticism of show gardens that it's like, oh, it all feels a bit samey. We're saying there are many, many different ways of approaching planting design or garden design, and you've got to be free. We, you know, there isn't one way of doing it. But what we can give you is we can show you lots of different ways and some of the really good people, how they do it. So people like Kate Gould and Joe Thompson, who are actually really different planting designers. And they do things in, you'd think they do things in a different way, but actually they've got a very similar process which comes out with different results. Mm. And that for us is really, really fascinating. I mean, I love it because I'm there hearing all this, you know, and we try to mix it up, so we're always developing, we're always bringing in new tutors and finding new people who've got something interesting to say, rather than just teaching a way of doing things by rote so that everyone's just turning up with the same thing.
How do you sleep at night? And but I'll go back to the can't sit still thing. We're 10 minutes in and Peter's jibber jabber in between aside and asking a question. The London College of Garden Design, to be fair, should be almost an episode on its own, and maybe it's something we should come back to. I need to get some WD-40 for that door in the background. I don't know whether you can hear that. We've had squeaky door syndrome in the Sideshow for a little bit, and to take that part of it and then turn around and say, well, Andrew, lads, I'm going to take 3 months away, not because I want a break, it's because you'll never guess what I've just come up with. So what's the scheme? I won't say the scheme. I've got a cunning plan, Balder, because you seem to have a ton of them. Most people have, if they're lucky, and I'll be very honest about this, if most, for the greater part, are lucky, they'll have one brilliant thing that they've turned around and went, I know what I'm going to do.
The funny thing for me is I've just had a week's holiday in Ibiza and I've gone and sit around the pool, and I get into so much trouble with my other half because I suddenly start thinking about stuff and I have to have a notebook. So it's like, it's not holiday, because I'm suddenly thinking, that's the time when I get to think in some way about what we do next. And you just get lots of stuff. I get lots and lots of ideas, not just business ideas, but, you know, how we can develop the college, but also design ideas. There's these sort of things come into your mind. You think, that'd be an interesting garden. That might be something. And I always write them down because, and I'm saying to my students as well, it's like, just because you've had that idea doesn't mean it has to go into the next garden. Sometimes I've had ideas which 5 years later I went, do you know, that would be a really good show garden. I'm going to do that. And I know, I did a show garden in New Zealand in 2014, and it was this idea I'd had about 3 years before about tree seats. I've also found it funny that tree seats, you sit on a tree seat and you never look at the tree, you look at the view. So I did a 36-seater tree seat where you actually looked at the tree. It was a wonderful spreading London plain in the park in Christchurch, New Zealand. 36-seater, and people didn't touch the tree. They walked in and they treated it like an altar, and we surrounded it with tree ferns, and then we just kept getting people coming, the visitors to the show, and we could close it off, and they just were in awe of this, and all these people going, oh, I'm going to go back home and put loads of seats around a tree, and we're going to sit around and look at the tree. And it was the funniest thing, but it was this last idea, and I'd had it 3 or 4 years, you know, before, and we called it, sometimes you need to look at what's behind you. And just did that. And that had a legacy, because that went into, it's in, if you're ever down in Christchurch in New Zealand, it's in the Botanic Garden there now. And somebody stole the little seat that you pulled in to make it a complete circle, but never mind. Meant they appreciated it. And so I keep, you know, I keep those ideas, and I have stuff I've had for a long time, and some of those will never come to fruition, but sometimes, you know, you suddenly think, I had that idea once, you know, that this is the time to do it. And it's the same, I think, with business as well. We were joking about, because it was cold on the first day of the Ascot Garden Show, we were joking about we should have just been selling jackets and scarves and things. But, you know, sometimes you think, well, actually, that's an idea, isn't it? You know, I keep those things.
Well, I'll put you in context and back up what you said about your ideas when you're on holidays, because you were sending me messages from your holidays in Ibiza to say, Peter, quote unquote, as far as I remember, I have a great idea. Here's my mobile number. And I was saying, if this was a good looking woman on the far side of the bar texting me, I wouldn't, you'd be on your own right now. You're about the only person now outside of myself who'll, actually, I'll ask you the question. Do you pace the garden? I don't mean pace the garden in a negative way, but do you pace the garden, let's say at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and go, okay, yeah, and you picture the garden, you place it out, you can see the 20 metres by 10 metres, you can walk through, oh my God, that is actually going to work. And you're in the middle of the dark with your eyes closed, which is an odd sensation in itself, but you're doing it. Do you do that?
Yeah, it's a funny thing that I know that. It's about visualisation and things like that. And one of the things I've always taught students is, okay, we get all this fabulous computer-aided design now and you can do that, but everyone's really used to seeing those pictures. I make models. So as well as imagining these things and walking myself through, I make physical models because I know the impact it has on people and people understand things. But also I can get down low and look in and imagine what that view's like. And I put little people in and things like that. And I love them. I've got this huge collection of models. In fact, 4 years ago, we did a little miniature garden show with 3D printing, because things like 3D printing allow you to do those things now. So, I'm a very visual person like that. And I get told off sometimes in the office for playing with bits of paper and things. But I teach that to my students as well. I have this brilliant woman called Carolyn Willits come in, who's up in Manchester. She's a designer, but she's trained garden designer, landscape architect, and a theatre designer. So when she's thinking about structural planting and the trees and things, she actually cuts out bits of, you know, trees from magazines and things and puts them into place. She comes into my planting design course and teaches them to do that. And in an hour, you can do things that you'd never really thought were possible, because you're sort of imagining them and you're playing with bits of paper. And it's a completely different process than what I think a lot of people do, which is just go to a plan. We're actually playing with volume and things like that, with bits of tissue paper and things, and it's good fun.
When you're out for a drink, let's say you decide you're going to go into a bar on your own, the people look at you. This isn't an insult, I genuinely mean this. This isn't an insult. Do you know when little people are running around in your head? And again, for you listening at home, if you've ever visualised a garden, placed out a show garden in your head, in only your imagination, and then realised after 15 minutes that somebody is watching you, what it looks like, you broke up with your girlfriend because she didn't like Bon Jovi in 1987. Living on a Prayer was a terrible album. I think it was 87 anyway. There's something odd about it if you watch somebody but you know what they're doing.
Yeah,
and it's worse if you're in the bar on your own and you're doing it. You're almost agreeing with yourself and disagreeing with yourself, and it is a little bit contrary. Do you do that? Have you watched people looking at you?
Well, I think it's partly how old I am, because when I started out, you sketched everything out and you drew everything by hand and things. So I've got a notebook here, you know, and so you're carrying that around with you. And a lot of people, younger people certainly, or people coming in now, they go straight to computers and things, and it's fine, and you know, it's fabulous what you can do on an iPad and things, and you can use that sketchbook. But I'm sort of a bit old school still, so I will sketch things out, and I can't do CAD and things. I pass it to somebody else to do it. My business partner Dan is brilliant at it, so I don't need to do it, but I do get quite engrossed in that, I suppose. Yeah. And I firmly believe that one of the problems we have with planting design in the last 15 years is that people just start with a list of their favourite plants, which are the favourite plants that they've seen in a magazine that somebody said, these are my top 50 plants and I'm a celebrity, so you should use them. Whereas I'm much more like, I'm picking plants way down the list. I'm just sketching lots of things out. I'm sketching out the look of the planting and things like that before I get anywhere near saying, well, this is that plant. And I think that's partly because I like using unusual stuff and different stuff. Having done this for so long, I've seen how the climate has changed so much that we have this enormous opportunity to use amazing plants. And then I look in the magazines and thinking, what, you're still doing verbena and steeper and birch trees? And it's just like, you know, really? Yeah, it looks pretty, it's fine, but actually it's everywhere and it's on roundabouts now and everything. And when I see that sort of thing in a botanic garden, my heart sinks, because I think botanic gardens, you can do so much. You've got this whole world of fabulous plants you can do more interesting stuff with. That's why Andrew and I decided to set the planting design diploma up, because he got fed up with me complaining. So he said, well, let's do something about it. And it is that thing about, you know, I think having notebooks, sketching, so you might find a new plant, but not thinking, oh, I've got to use that next. It's about you use it when it's appropriate to use it and doing things. So, yeah, I have favourite plants, but I have a list of about 5,000 favourite plants. I'm a bit like Neil Lucas, you know, from Noel Gardens. He's always saying, you know, it's one of my favourite grasses. But everyone's one of his favourite grasses. And I said to him once, I said, how many favourite grasses you got? He said, about 500.
What's spare time for you? What is actual downtime? Apart from, well, Ibiza doesn't count for you because you were talking to me on your holidays then.
Yeah, no, the travel is great. I do love travelling. And as I said, the horticulture and being able to do that. I love things like Twitter because a good example is I turned up in Osaka. I've been lucky to lead some tours and go in and work at the garden show in Japan. And I turned up in Osaka and I tweeted I just arrived in Osaka, look at this fabulous cherry tree. Next thing I know, these three retired ladies got in contact via Twitter and said, we live in Osaka, can we go and show you some residential gardens? I mean, how awesome is that, you know, that somebody's seen you on Twitter and said, yeah, we'll show you some gardens. So that's brilliant. The travel is really good. And that, to me, is not, that's not work. But I love, you know, that sort of thing. I love art as well, so I collect paintings and do that. So, but I'm a big eBay collector, and I've got a certain people I follow that I'm not going to tell you about because the price will go up, if you know. And whiskey is quite big in my life as well.
Okay, right, now let's stall this there, because myself and a gentleman we both know, Stephen Bennett, we'll get to him in a little bit. We had a conversation about Guinness. And Middleton, very rare. That is previous episode. You should go back and listen to that. You're okay. Thanks for closing the door very gently. Sorry, I was just scared with it. Yeah, there's doors all over this place. But I said, Middleton, very rare, Stephen, if you please. Is that one year, or do you, or what are you?
I was talking to a colleague of mine about this morning and about whiskey, because she's said, I've got about 30 bottles in the house of different things, and you have to be in the right mood for the right thing. So I haven't got a favourite. It's a bit like my planting design. I haven't got one favourite. I do have a friend up in Edinburgh, and she is a founding member of the Whiskey Association, the Whiskey Society. And when I first went to see her, I was introduced by a friend. I walked in the door for dinner, and she said, oh, you like whiskey, don't you? She said, this will be a good night. And she opened her larder, like a pantry, and it was only whiskey. And she had about 200 different bottles. And she was rubbing her hands together. But my only problem is with whiskey is that it makes me a bit miserable the next day. So I have to be really careful not to drink too much. But I like a selection of things. And I actually like, you know, the right occasion, I like things like Japanese whiskey and things, which is good stuff. And Japanese whiskey is actually, the squeak going again. Japanese whiskey is quite respected by the Scots as well. So, yeah.
Right, well, let's get into our mate Stephen Bennett. You can gather what I'm trying to do is go somewhat around in a circle, but the circle's just getting bigger. I'm stuck on a roundabout outside Charles de Gaulle Airport. That one with the tree. No, is it the one in Paris that's got three lanes on the roundabout? Bennett, yeah. So we have, in a sense, touched on the College Garden sign with Andrew. We've covered whiskey. shows and some of your work that you've done yourself. But garden shows.
Yeah.
Ascot set up in 2018, did its first show. We had Stephen on, a pretty good episode if you want to go back and listen to it. In fact, it's a very good episode, great insight. This is an elongated question, I'm really sorry. But in the same way that the London College of Garden Design graduates and that certificate diploma that they get is recognised and held so high by the industry, for you then to be brought on board by Stephen, somebody who I would have, again, the gentleman thing comes back into it, he essentially said, AFT, you're the man, stand over here. And you said, sure.
Yeah.
What is your role within the garden shows and how did that bit all click for you?
Well, I started actually getting involved. I did my Chelsea Gardens in the 1990s and then decided I didn't get excited about it, and that was actually like some people, like someone like Kate Gould, you know, she's happy to do three a year. I'm like, well, why would you do that? So I did those and I never did any more. But then I was chair of the Society of Garden Designers for a couple of years, and the week I stepped down, Bob Sweet, who worked with Stephen, rang me up and said, no, you haven't got anything to do, do you want to come and be a judge? So I went over to RHS and enjoyed judging and enjoyed selecting gardens, and I worked with Stephen there, so that's how we know each other. And one of the good things about talking and working with students and giving students feedback is that it's the same thing that translates into giving feedback to somebody who's built a show garden about their garden. So I hope I know about that sort of thing, so I give constructive feedback that people respect. And so that developed from there, and then Stephen went off to do his own thing, and Stephen and I live close to each other, so there's still the whiskey connection, you know, and the red wine connection, and we respect each other's specialities and where they are. He's an amazing events guy. He knows exactly what he's doing there, but he always says, well, I don't know about what's good design and things. He said, I know the exhibitors that are going to give me an easy time and the ones that are going to give me a hard time. And I said, well, so do I, because I see that side of it. So we, the first actual project we worked with, because I'd been working on the Australian Garden Show in Sydney, and I was ambassador for that and developing the gardens there. And then we worked together in Istanbul on a festival there, which was a challenge, but a challenge that we all like. And I'm glad to say I brought together 14 garden designers who became firm friends, sometimes in adversity, but it was good fun. And there are people, I brought somebody from New Zealand things. So because I travel and because I enjoy what I do, and I know a lot of people, I have a very good list of designers and things I can bring together, and I can pick the right ones and say, why didn't you come and do that? So when it came to Ascot, Stephen said to Ascot, you know, Andrew's the guy, so I came along to see them. They're amazing people to work with at Ascot, really good fun. And so we put together, I put together the criteria for what we were looking for the show. And in a first year show, having worked on those first year shows, you need people who know what they're doing, who are going to be calm in adversity. But you also want, I can't do these things and run the college and not encourage new talent. That, to me, is really, really important. The problem with some of the big shows is that if the same people are doing it, you're getting quite often the same sort of gardens, and people won't come. So you want new stuff. You want people, and there are people like Kate Gould who's doing loads and loads of gardens, but she comes up with new stuff all the time. she's got lots of ideas. Where there's other people, you can spot their gardens a mile off without, you know, and it's by them, you know. So, you know, new talent's really important.
So we're just going to cut it there for the minute, but I'll be back with Andrew the week after next. Andrew part two. Anything you need in the meantime, at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow, sideshow.com. Genuine thanks for listening.